Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to the cons is our escape. It's like a pack of geeks in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey, Gad, what are the Long Box Guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless to taking over the world. Yes!
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Long Box Guys. With me, as always, are some of my very favorite people since I was a very little kid. Mike, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I am doing excellent, and I am drinking a Hefeweizen from Santa Clara Valley Brewing.
Ooh, the very best of California brewing.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm doing okay, and I'm drinking some Winchester bourbon. How are you doing, Tommy? What are you drinking?
I'm doing terrific today. I have myself a giant glass of Thompson's Water Seal. Thompson's Water Seal Scotch. When you have $14 and you have a week to drink it, Thompson's Water Seal Scotch. There's only one bourbon that's worse that I won't drink, and that's called Early Times. Has anyone had that?
Oh, that's god awful.
That's terrible, 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 terrible stuff. I have not sunk that low yet. Speaking of sinking low, Josh, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I really appreciate that, Tom. I am drinking Super Typhoon from Treehouse Brewing. I see the Bahamas have taken the brunt of my beer, but I'm going to finish it off here tonight.
I was going to say too soon, man.
Too soon?
Too soon. It is a cool-looking can, though.
Nice.
It is.
Yeah. You know what they have in the Bahamas? Eels.
Nothing.
Well, they got eels and shrieking eels, probably. And speaking of eels, this week we're going to be talking about Eel O'Brien, a.k.a. Plastic Man, one of the few characters to make it all the way from 1930s all the way to today. LT, why don't you tell us a little something about Eel O'Brien? Unless you want me to, because I've already looked this character up.
Oh, you can do it, Tommy.
All right. So I learned a couple of really interesting things today about this character. And it's a character I've always really liked, but, you know, never took very seriously because he is kind of a toss-away character. So created by Jack Cole, going all the way back to, if you can believe this, 1941 when he was in the back and when he was in Police Comics. Is that right? Police Comics? Yeah, and he gets picked up by DC all the way over in 1966. So we're talking about a character that survived from 41 to 66 to present day, and he didn't change all that much. He has changed, granted, and even his story has changed, but not nearly as much as some of the other ones, especially some of the ones that came all the way through. So originally, Eel O'Brien was a thief who gets shot. He gets doused with chemicals. A monk finds him, takes him back to the monastery. The monk finds out that this thief isn't all bad and decides to hide him from the police. So when the police come trying to find Patrick Eel O'Brien, the monk says, I don't know who this Patrick Eel O'Brien is. Notice how I didn't use an accent, not being racist this week. Awesome for us. The cops go away, and Eel O'Brien decides to try to stay on the straight and narrow. Now, this is an ongoing storyline for this character. He always struggles with his criminal past. Is he a hero? Is he a good guy? Is he pretending to be a hero? Is he pretending not to be a thief? This is something that plays in all along. But he dons a costume, one of the most garish in all of comic books, red, yellow, and a little bit of white and black, and becomes Plastic Man. When one part, by the way, says that he originally said Elastic Man, but the reporter misheard him, which I think is kind of funny. He had a sidekick named Woozy, and Woozy used to have superpowers, I found out, which I think is also cool. The power of nature took kindly to poor, dull Woozy, who was not mentally all there, and protected him. So he was kind of like a druid in as much as Mother Nature herself would jump in the path of bullets in the forms of shrubs or minor earthquakes or, you know, ditches opening up in the ground to protect Woozy. I wish they'd kept that up because I really like that part of the storyline. So Plastic Man's power is, of course, super stretchiness, but he has a litany of other powers that go along with that that actually make him really, really powerful. So he's neither a full solid nor a full liquid. So all of his organs are pretty much a singularity. You can pull out parts of him and they're not destroyed. To give you an example, at one point he was burst into millions of particles and spread out across the entire Atlantic Ocean. And it took the Justice League finding 80% of him so that he could will himself back together. But that took, I think it was 3,000 years or some ridiculous number. It left him mentally a little unstable, but he was able to do that. That also shows that he is, for a lot of people think he's pretty much immortal. He certainly hasn't aged since the 1940s. So along with the ability to shapeshift, to stretch himself, to have these plastic organs, to be immune to telepathy because he doesn't have a normal brain anymore. So when the Martian Manhunter had reverted to the this evil version of himself, he was used against the Martian Manhunter because he could not be subjected to the Manhunter's telepathy. He also has that super regenerative healing factor, invulnerability, and mortality. You can't ask for better. His weaknesses, he only has a few. One weakness is he can't change color very well without really concentrating. He can take on the color red, yellow, black, and white, not so bad because that's the colors of his costume. And some people assume that that might be a mental block on his part. He has been able to change small parts of his body into different colors, including his nose blue for Batman, just to prove that it could be done. But it took extreme concentration on his part to change even that much of his face into a certain color. Also, extreme temperature differences affect him, especially if it's quick. So he has been flash frozen and then shattered. He has been able to pull himself back together when he unfreezes, but when he's frozen and shattered, you know, he's kind of out of play for at least a while. And he's also been turned into a liquid by laser vision. So there's a couple of things that can stop him, but he was able to pull himself back together after his body cooled enough for him to return to that half-liquid, half-solid proportion. A lot of people have done him in the past. One thing that I think is interesting, he's one of the few superheroes to be on the cover of New Yorker magazine, just because the writer of New Yorker, one of the artists in New Yorker, just loved the character. And friend of the podcast and one of our favorite writers, Phil Foglio, who famously did the back of Dragon magazine, Phil and Dixie, also did a run of this comic book, Plastic Man. He is still out there swinging, even though he is semi-retired just because of the terrific mental damage he's taken over the years, being frozen and destroyed, being cognizant of being around for 3,000 years but not being able to move. All of these things have taken a real toll on his psyche. He's also showed up in a couple other universes. One of my favorites is the new one where the
You're talking about the Convergence Freedom Fighters, where he Freedom Fighters are fighting Earth X.
That's right. And that was a really good storyline. Shows him as a very, very scary guy. Uses his powers in some very evil ways. He's kind of the SS of that universe. They've also used his power of disguise to make him look like the Joker for infiltration. This guy just has a lot going on. So a great character, and like I said, one of the few characters to really make it a long way. Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman have long lives, but you got to admit, Plastic Man's right in there with him. Mike, what do you got to say about this character?
He's a great character. In fact, if you go all the way back to our first episode, which was on the Elongated Man, you will hear that Elongated Man only was created because Julie Schwartz did not know they had the rights to Plastic Man. who knew?
Let me just add that happened a couple of times. Also in a couple of the cartoon series where they were trying to put Plastic Man in, they put Elongated Man in at the last minute because that Plastic Man going back to Police Comics and then over to DC has been a little iffy a couple of different times.
Yeah, they weren't sure if they had the television rights, even though they had bought the comic rights. So that's why they were hesitant to use him, although he did have his own cartoon for a while. I've read a number of Plastic Man issues. When I was a kid in the 1970s, right before the DC implosion, which we'll have to do a whole episode on at some point, Plastic Man's comic came back for about 8 issues or so, and I collected it, and I thought he was a lot of fun. I loved his interplay with Woozy Winks. Plastic Man goes through a bunch of different kind of personality changes, as it were. When you look at him in the early Police Comics and stuff, he actually is the straight man to Woozy Winks being mm-hmm. the comedy sidekick. And then later on, they kind of develop it as they're both crazy and both funny. And then even further, they just get rid of Woozy Winks altogether and make Plastic Man the crazy, funny, fun-loving guy. If you're going to be reading any series, I say you go right to modern times. Go right to DC's version of the Fantastic Four, the Terrifics. Plastic Man is on the team. He is the comedy relief for the team, but he also has a very serious storyline where he's trying to get back in touch with his son. So that's the one I'm going to recommend if anybody wants to check out. The first 6 or 7 issues are available on the DC Universe app, if you have that. In fact, there are a lot of Plastic Man stories on the DC Universe app.
Hey, quick question. Do you know what his son's superhero name is, or even his name? Because I was having trouble finding that.
Offspring.
Yeah, is that really it? They call him Offspring, as in spring?
That's what they called him in 52.
See, I thought maybe they were just saying Offspring because it's his offspring. But they used it so many times that I thought, are they just saying that's a superhero name? So thank you, LT. You're with me that it's at least confusing, but maybe it is his name.
That's literally what he was like, is Offspring safe in okay. 52? So at least we
it's not the worst name for a stretchy character.
Right. Yeah. Especially knowing the Plastic Man character used a lot of puns.
Yep. And we should also note that this particular version of Plastic Man, the Offspring, is supposedly even more powerful than Eel O'Brien. Not restricted by the color adaption thing. He can turn into any color he wants, and he is both a liquid and a plastic at all times. Made for an easy birthing.
I don't know. They list him as a watered-down version of his father's powers. Although he can change color, his shape-shifting and elasticity are not as prominent as his dad.
What I read earlier...
A different formula, a different version of the formula, apparently.
Yeah. Maybe I didn't read deep enough, but Batman says he's definitely more, he was more powerful. He thought he was more powerful than Plastic Man.
Well, Batman thinks Plastic Man's the most powerful person on the Justice League. If you read Grant Morrison's run, Batman says that Plastic Man doesn't even realize the extent of all his powers and how powerful he could actually be. And he's grateful that Eel O'Brien is just such a cut-up and a comedy character, because otherwise he could be really, really dangerous.
It should also be noted that Batman is the one that came up with the way to destroy Plastic Man by shattering him into many pieces and hiding the pieces in different places, which was used against Plastic Man. And Plastic Man found out that Batman was the one who came up with this crazy notion in the first place, and other people found out about it. And that led to a lot of conflict for only about 2 or 3 comic books. I would have held that grudge longer.
Well, he kicked him out of the Plastic Man voted to kick Batman out of the Justice League, so the grudge eventually went away, but that's because Batman was gone from the Justice League.
Yeah. So I'm also going to agree with Mike, because I tried to read some of the Plastic Man from the 40s, and I didn't care for it at all. And back then, he did have the ability to change color and impersonate other people, but I found that the comics were just really not that great. They just seemed kind of hacky and way too.
He's always had the power to impersonate other people and change his facial features. It's just very clear that the suit would have to be red and black.
He was changing entire outfits in the 40s, and he was also working for the FBI in the 40s.
He got all the way up to working for, he started off as a consultant. He became a police officer. Then he became an FBI agent, and he was slowly working himself all the way up the ladder. So, he got pretty high up in the police organization.
But I've got to say that my favorite Plastic Man was actually on the TV show Batman Brave and the Bold series. Season one, episode 2, Terror on Dinosaur Island, where Batman and Plastic Man work together to thwart Gorilla Grodd's plan to devolve humans into super intelligent apes and take control of the world that way. And it was just Plastic Man's hilarious sort of his continual effort to fight the urge to steal gold and also fight Gorilla Grodd at the same time. That was great.
It was a great episode, but point of order, he was evolving people into apes, not devolving.
Whatever.
Point of order, given the current administration, I think we can all agree, Gorilla Grodd 2020.
Yeah.
Hashtag Grodd was right.
Grodd's always right. Grodd was right.
Right.
In Grodd we trust.
Grodd would protect the fucking rainforest. Grodd would fucking stop climate change.
Although I
have faith in Grodd.
Although I do have to say, if you want comedy, the Phil Foglio, I think, series is probably the funniest out of all of them. Just because Woozy Winks is just hilarious, isn't it? He's a mental patient who is kicked out of his home and just wants to go back to the mental hospital. But
what does Woozy Winks blame for being kicked out?
Something called Reaganomics.
That is correct. And, of course, we love Phil Foglio. Phil Foglio of Girl Genius and a bunch of other things. Xenomorph, his X-rated comic book, which I love. Phil Foglio is just terrific.
Dynamo Joe. Let's not forget Dynamo Joe.
All right. You like Dynamo Joe. That's fine.
Josh, do you have a series of Plastic Man that you would recommend?
Unfortunately, I do not. I really wanted to do some research this week, but this week was not my week to get research done.
Okay. Did anybody get a chance to watch any of the cartoons?
Yes.
I've seen the Brave and the Bold cartoons. I didn't get to see any of the originals. And I do. I did get the first – maybe like 10 or 15 issues of the Terrifics and read them. And I did like that series. It's a good record.
I got to see the Terrifics. That one looks good.
So, LT, you watch some of them? I know the shorts that they have on DC Nation are very entertaining.
Hilarious.
Well, I watched all the Brave and the Bold. I tried looking for the Plastic Man cartoon, and I couldn't find it.
I found some on YouTube.
That's what I figured.
Yeah.
See, all I could find were, like, the Plastic Man live-action interstitials to the cartoons, and I could find some of the racing-type stuff, but I couldn't find his actual cartoon.
Speaking of which, I also found the Laverne and Shirley Saturday morning cartoon.
Just search Plastic Man cartoon 1979 full episodes, and they come up.
Yeah.
What I was trying to find was the one movie that they made. It's included on the collection of the cartoons from the 1970s, but it was voiced by the same guy who did SpongeBob SquarePants, and it's supposed to be amazing, but I couldn't find a non-bootleg copy of it.
Name, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Kenny something, and he also does he also is the voice in some of the shorts.
I think that would be great. So if anybody has a copy of that is not a bootleg, please let me know.
You don't want a bootleg copy there, Mike?
I do not.
Fair enough.
Fair enough, Michael. Fair enough.
Wink is as good as a nod to a blind man. Hey,
Damn,
say no more.
It's called Puddle Trouble, and Tom Kenny is the voice actor.
Tom Kenny, that's that fellow's name. Good voice actor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good actor, too. He was really funny on Whose Line Is It Anyways?
According to the Hollywood Reporter, Warner Brothers is working on a Plastic Man movie.
All right, let's go for it, guys. Who do you want to see as Plastic Man?
Bruce Campbell.
I would almost agree with you. He's too old. He's too old at this point.
What nonsense.
Have you seen him? He's too old. You got to pick somebody else. I'm sorry. I love Bruce Campbell. I don't want to say it. He's too old.
So you're saying Samuel L. Jackson. They could de-age freaking Bruce Campbell and make him all stretchy. It's all going to be special effects anyways, right? It's all going to be CGI.
He just
has to stand there, and they're going to make everything else happen.
They just got to put little dots on his face. Put him in a green suit. He's fine. Same with Jeff Goldblum, though. I think Jeff Goldblum could do that.
Well, who do you got, Josh? Who would your live-action Plastic Man be?
I'm trying to think now. I got the wheels are a-turning. Give me 27.6 seconds.
All right, Tommy, go.
Maybe Jack Black?
No, he's my pick for Woozy.
Oh, that would be good.
What do you mean I can't be in the insane asylum? I'm crazy! Woo!
You can all stop counting in your heads.
You thinking is the same as you pooping from the face you're making. That's all I can say.
Wait.
Yeah, it's everybody.
Can it be both?
Can it be both? Anybody else I can think of a good Plastic Man? Wash from Firefly.
Yeah. Obviously, Alan Tudyk can do anything.
Anything.
Yeah.
He'd be phenomenal at it.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey was probably already been cast for the role because he's in everything.
Jim Carrey was originally considered.
Yeah, but that's like asking for the solution to a problem and just saying technology. That's Alan Tudyk. It's the word technology.
You can replace the word Alan Tudyk for technology almost anywhere.
Anyway.
Global warming, Alan Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk. How do we solve this, Alan Tudyk? Did you mean technology?
Yep.
No. Alan Tudyk.
Pretty sure.
Hey, how about kind of unconventional Neil Patrick Harris?
I mean, I like MPH, but I'm not sure he's a Plastic Man.
All right.
He's got the jaw for it.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, I'll think of something.
We'll cast this movie later.
Yeah, I'll cast this movie later. Seriously.
And Plastic Man, one of the few characters never to have like a really good nemesis. The Dome was listed, but I don't even know what the hell the Dome is. So no really good, except for his own temptation to crime. He's never had like a nemesis to follow him around. Any last thoughts, guys? Tommy, what's your last thoughts on this character? More powerful than I thought and more writers than I ever knew.
Yeah, I mean, Greed was, I would say, probably one of his greatest enemies.
See, I don't know if it was really greed, because the things he would steal or the things he was tempted to steal was more towards, I'm a thief, I should be taking this. It wasn't like, I'm a thief, I should be hitting this big score. I'm a thief, I could get in any safe in the world. It was just that drive for thievery.
I will say, though, one of the most Catholic of the DC heroes.
More than, DC. Damn it, you got me. I was going to say, Daredevil. Wait until you threw that DC in my face. In my face!
That's where I like to throw it, Tom. Right in your face.
Pretty much.
Right in your face.
All right, Tom, Mikey, there. Any last words besides Catholicism?
Wow. No.
Wow.
That stops right there.
All right. Josh, we know you didn't have a lot of time to research this one. You probably didn't see the cartoons as a kid because you're not quite as old as us. Probably missed it by a little bit.
Yeah, I was pretty young. I think it was like 79 to 81, so.
Yeah, I mean, you just barely missed it by like a year. But they were good. They were funny. They were definitely one that I looked forward to seeing every week as a kid. Because Super Friends, Plastic Man, Blue Falcon kind of made that morning terrific for me. God,
I love the Blue Falcon.
I'm so sad that kids don't have that Saturday morning ritual that we had.
Yeah. One of my favorite things, this is a tiny aside, not quite my segment. My mom used to take a giant load of towels and put them in a dryer, whether or not she needed to or not. And while I was watching Saturday morning cartoons, would take an entire laundry basket full of just out of the dryer hot towels and just pile them on me while I watch cartoons. It's one of the nicest things ever. I love you, Mom.
Pretty nice.
And, of course, my childhood was a nightmare landscape from which I'm still in therapy for. But that sounds like delightfulness. I do something for Lainey, which I call the knockout punch.
Oh, whoa, right before... whoa.
Hear me out.
Tell me more.
Right before she goes to bed, I take her big blankets. I put them in the dryer for a couple of minutes. I throw them on her, and then I take the dryer, her hair dryer, and just warm up the whole bed for her. And then nice. I put her to bed.
I do something similar for my wife, except I take a roll of quarters and put them in a sock.
And you're like, good night, dear. And she's like, what? Every night I get you with that.
Every night.
Thank God for the brain damage. Otherwise, she would remember.
Yeah. Side note, that sock came right out of the dryer.
Yeah. I'm not a monster.
It's warm.
It's nice and warm.
Do it too, but yeah.
I mean, those quarters are cold.
Honey, do you have a sock full of quarters in the dryer?
No, I put the quarters in afterwards.
Afterwards, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to wreck my dryer. Sock.
If they're in the sock, they're just going to get nice and warm.
I could scald somebody. Come on, man, right. Use your head.
Safety first when you're knocking your wife out with a roll of quarters in a sock.
Yeah.
Well, I think that does it for plastic, man.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Mikey, what do you got at the front of the long box?
At the front of the long box, I have dun-dun-dun-dun, Merry Man,
ooh,
Dumb Bunny, Awkward Man, The Blimp, and White Feather, collectively known as what, Tom?
The Impossibles, the Unfortunates,
the Inferior Five.
The Inferior Five. I love the Inferior Five. One of my favorite one shots because they go on. Tell us more about the Inferior Five, and how come we didn't mention White Feather when we were talking about greatest archers of all time?
Because we're talking about the greatest archers of all time. That's why we didn't mention White Feather. However, if you are a fan of Woody Allen, and I say this only because that's who Merry Man was based on, go check out the latest Inferior Five miniseries that's coming out from Keith Griffin, the guy who did Justice League International. He is now putting all of his powers for evil behind the Inferior Five, and it is going to be delightfully fun. If you are a fan of lame superheroes, these are the guys for you. It starts this month.
All right. None of those heroes are actually lame.
Putting it on the list.
Oh, definitely putting it on the list. Oh, they're terrific.
Hi, I'm Cynthia Rothrock, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Tommy, what do you have the back of the long box?
Well, Tommy.
Please say the Inferior Five, because they had a great run back in the 1970s. Mike?
The 60s. And we got into a bidding war over the complete series once.
Oh, we did we? I guess I know who won, because I don't fucking have them.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
I'm gonna jump on right now. Sorry, yeah, Lainey.
I guess I'll just have two copies of it.
Shut up. You suck. Tom, what do you got in the back?
Well, it's not the Inferior Five, because me and Mike don't coordinate like that. But Death or Glory is not just my favorite Clash song. It's also a great comic book by Rick Remender and Bengal, released back in October of 2018. It is a story of Glory, who is raised by a family of truck drivers in a community of truck drivers. And she is robbing her ex-husband, who's doing illegal things, to try to save her trucker dad, who doesn't have any health insurance, who needs a liver operation because he's dying of liver cancer. And it's a pretty good story. It's filled with all sorts of car chasing and twists and turns, and it's a great little series, about 158 pages, and I recommend it.
Terrific.
And that's so. Is that on Comixology?
It is on Comixology. I don't know if it's on Unlimited, but I don't think it's on Unlimited, but it's a pretty good series.
Well, that's a recent series too, huh?
Yeah.
Josh, do you have any good tangents for us this week?
Yeah, so we were talking about Plastic Man being in the FBI and being able to shape change into forms. And it reminded me recently there's a YouTube series where they take industry experts and have them look at film scenes and critique them. And recently, and now I'm going to forget her name, which is terrible because her name is Jonah Mendez. She is the lead disguise expert for the CIA, retired. She is the husband of Tony Mendez, who orchestrated the the Canadian caper during the Iran hostage situation, and they got
Argo.
And the movie, based on everything was Argo. So she does a segment on YouTube where she critiques costume changes and disguises in movies, and it's a 25 or a 28 minute episode on YouTube. And they also have they do one with some stuntmen, and they rip up some stunt scenes and some fight choreography. It's hilarious.
I want to see this now.
The series on YouTube is fantastic. And I can't remember the specific name, but I will dig it up.
It's on Wired.
Yeah, it's on Wired on YouTube. It's Wired, the Wired YouTube channel.
You know, I think I remember seeing one where an actual NASA person just tore apart gravity.
Yeah, and it's brilliant. The whole series is brilliant. They're very fun and exciting. I love them very much. Just watching these segments as they tear into movies and whatnot, professionals in the real world. But I was going to do my tangent was going to be spy movies. Favorite spy movies.
Does that have to be a serious one? Because Spy Hard is still one of my faves.
Spy Hard?
Are you thinking it's Spies Like Us?
Nope, I'm thinking of Spy Hard with Val Kilmer.
Okay,
look it up.
Okay. I'm looking it up. I just don't know what it is.
Are you thinking about Top Secret?
It sounds like Top Secret.
No, that's Top Secret.
It's a Leslie Nielsen movie.
Yeah. Spy Hard is with Val Kilmer.
With Leslie Nielsen.
Top Secret.
Top Secret. Al Kilmer's first movie, and
I think
the
Top Secret.
Okay.
I love Top Secret.
How long have we been married? Like, I could just like, no, that's not what you're thinking about, Tom. This is what you're thinking about.
But Barry Bostwick was in Spy Hard with Leslie Nielsen. Just saying.
Let me just ask you a quick question, Mike. Do I like eggs?
Yeah.
All right, just making sure. Without Lainey here, I am lost. For those of you not in the know, my wife is going to be gone for 4 months as a visiting professor, and I am just wandering around in my underwear, completely lost, not knowing who anyone is in any movie because I got no one to ask.
Breakfast sandwiches are your favorite, Tom.
Shut up, Tommy. You love chicken fingers.
I do love chicken fingers, but there are other cuisines I also love.
So I'm going to go with Top Secret. What was the one that was what was the spy one starring the guy from Winning?
Charlie Sheen?
Yeah, Charlie Sheen. What was his?
Top Shot or something like that?
Hot Shots.
Hot Shots. I'm not sure. Well,
that's more of an action adventure.
Yeah, it was more like a Rambo ripoff
of a Top Gun ripoff.
Top Gun, whatever.
So
Rambo, Top Gun, it's all the same.
It's a tie for me. Spies Like Us, obviously, is
Spies Like Us, yeah.
Is one of them. The other one is Captain America, Winter Soldier. Those are my two favorite spy movies.
I do think Winter Soldier is awesome for the MCU. I don't know. Yeah, I guess it's kind of a spy movie. I'll give you that.
Oh, it's absolutely a spy movie.
Zemo, does it all. Definitely Spies Like Us on the comedy side. On a serious spy movie side, I'm trying to think of like an actual dramatic spy movie. I mean, for like an action spy movie, I kind of liked Atomic Blonde.
That was good. I liked Atomic Blonde.
I haven't seen Atomic Blonde.
It was fun. I don't know if I
Soldier, Sailor, Tinker for with Gary Oldman was pretty dramatic. It was good.
It was very dramatic. I haven't managed to stay awake through the whole film, though. Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. It's like a 4-hour movie, and I've fallen asleep at like hour and a half pretty much every time.
I have a fondness for Moonraker just because of its ridiculousness.
You just love Jaws. Skip past it.
I do. So, I love Jaws and science fiction, and it made the 007 movies even more ridiculous.
So, Tom, you forgot about The Kingsman, which is one of your favorite movies.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Thank you very much. I love The Kingsman. I am so looking forward to the new Kingsman movie. You got me, Mikey. I forgot about The Kingsman. Yeah.
How long have you two been married?
My mom.
Long enough that we finish each other's penises.
Sandwiches.
And when did you start calling your penis a sandwich?
1988.
Tommy, that was almost a good ad.
Yeah.
I was like 90% there. And you won. Good on you.
Have you guys watched the new Jack Ryan series on Amazon?
It's not awful.
I like it.
Yeah, it was fine. It was totally watchable. I mean, it wasn't great. I mean, it's pretty far from great, but it's totally watchable.
Your tepid critique is not swaying me. It's not terrible.
So what I'm hearing is
I didn't vomit at all while watching it.
I'm not here to sway you to go watch.
I think less than I thought I would.
So what I'm hearing from Josh is, if you want to put on something in the background while you're reading your comics, Jack Ryan is fine.
That's a good ad. Yeah, that's perfectly reasonable.
You got a long game of Heroes of the Multiverse going on your iPad? Not the worst thing to have in the background.
Yeah, it's okay. It's definitely okay.
Have you guys watched Carnival Row yet?
Watched the first episode.
I like it.
I thought going right to Jack Ripper was a little stereotypical for the show.
Well, it was originally a script that the guy wrote back in 2005, and it's been sitting on the shelf. They keep on coming up with new ways to make it, and Amazon finally was like, let's rescue it. And so they kind of took that script and made it into the pilot episode for this.
Yeah. I get that, like, everything, any show in which there's someone, a human being with a Cockney accent, Jack the Ripper has to be in the script somewhere.
It's mandatory.
I assume that's a universal truth. Yeah. But yeah, I thought, you know, like, did you have to go there in the first episode? I'll keep watching. I'll give it a couple more episodes, see how it is.
What about the Wu Assassins?
I have not even tried to watch Wu Assassins. I just imagine it irritating me so bad, like, from the preview.
I watched the outtake where the Wu Assassins are in a diner. Have you guys seen that?
It's amazing.
It's amazing. It's gorgeous. The Wu Assassins are sitting in a diner, and this waitress brings them over their ham and eggs, and she says, hey, is this okay for you guys, or do you want me to whip you up like a rice dish or something? She's actually trying to be kind of nice, but, you know,
unintentional racism.
Yeah.
Beneficial racism, and they're like, hey, just so you know, I was born in Georgia, and I was kind of – and this guy has no accent whatsoever. Like, I was kind of brought up on eggs and ham and sausage, so this will do for us just fine, you racist coos. It's pretty much what he says, and it is delicious.
Okay.
But I thought maybe slightly overkill for – you know, beneficial racism is an opportunity, I think, to make an ally instead of an enemy. You know, at least it's beneficial racism. I think that person wants to be an ally. They're just doing it badly.
Well, I would say it is the best chef-turned-assassin movie ever. Yeah, that's right, Steven Seagal. Under Siege.
Nope.
I'm saying this one.
Fuck you.
You have not watched this yet.
Look,
I'm telling you.
We can all agree that if it weren't for Under Siege, we wouldn't have a Wu Assassin.
Oh, yeah. You don't get the Wu Assassins without Under Siege.
Definitely.
You can't deny your roots.
And that brings us to my segment, 3-18, Under Siege.
I'm going to give it a 16 for Erica Aleniak coming out of the cake.
Of the cake, right? Just the cake scene.
Yeah, that's all I needed.
Yeah,
like, in fact,
we're good.
I owned that videotape, and I wore out that, like, 2 minutes.
And 2 minutes of her popping out of the cake while there were assassins running around like idiots.
Yeah.
Josh, 3 to 18.
7.
Oh, come on. 7?
Okay, you're right. 6.
All right. Tommy.
I don't think you're really thinking about it hard enough, Josh.
It's Die Hard on a boat.
5, Mike.
That's better.
Keep bringing it up. Don't
part
make me think about it any more than that.
Part of me wants to give it a 15 because I think that's the last time I thought that movie was good was when I was 15. But I don't think that's the way the rating system works.
Could be, though.
I'm still in that. I'm going to give it a 15 because that is the last time I thought it was good also. 15 for me. Go ahead, LT.
So I think I'm going to give it an 8.
Really? As an action movie, you give it below average.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. At the time, it was a fine action movie. And if I'm being absolutely serious, I would give it a 12. It's better than average. We all saw it. Fuck you guys. He owned it. He gave it the best rating, but that was a great scene. There's a scene in the galley where he's throwing knives in the kitchen into a dartboard, which is so unsafe. So unsafe on a moving ship.
He's supposed to be the cook. So unsanitary.
He's only the cook because he was a Navy SEAL who got demoted for punching a captain out. But he had 3 years to retirement, so they let him be a cook for the last 3 years so he could get his pension. What a ridiculous plot. Everything about it was stupid. And who was the bad guy? Was it Bogosian?
Gary Busey, right?
Gary Busey, a great bad guy. Come on, Gary Busey is the bad guy? He was a good bad. Fuck you, Josh. Fuck you!
You can see my... Yeah. I get the audience can't see my the incredulity in my face, but yeah.
I give you a point for incredulity.
Thanks. It's down
when
to
was the last time you watched that movie, son?
Oh, geez. But once again, I gave it a 15 for a reason.
Okay.
I don't think I've seen a Steven Seagal movie since a friend of mine in the New Orleans Police Department told me what a dick Steven Seagal was during ride-alongs. Steven Seagal enjoys going on ride-alongs soaked in patchouli, stinking, and pretending like he knows what he's doing. That's a douchebag move.
Yeah, we had the TV show, Tom.
I was going to say, didn't he like have his own TV show where he was like a cop?
Yeah.
No,
riding along with cops being a douchebag.
He would ride along with the cops.
He was like an assistant marshal or something, right?
No. Well, in Jefferson Parish, Louisiana, he was an actual deputy, deputized by Sheriff Harry Lee, God rest his soul.
God rest his soul, and we voted for him.
Even after he died, we continued to vote for Sheriff Harry Lee, because goddamn, he's the only one.
Harry Lee got a lot of votes.
He's the only one who can protect Jefferson Parish, even while being undead.
Do you remember when you rolled up on us that one time?
When we were wrestling on the front lawn and...
We were wrestling on the front lawn. I had just powerbombed you. Your legs are in the air. I am mounting you. And a spotlight runs on us and goes, "You boys doing all right?" And we look over and there's Sheriff Lee. And we're like, "We're just messing around. You boys better mess around like that in your house." Yes, sir, Sheriff.
Yep.
He also had his own, like, you know when you watch the movies and there's, like, silence your cell phones? Mike, didn't he have, like, some ridiculous thing where he was, like, shooting us or something?
He had his own thing at the beginning of the movies in Jefferson Parish telling people to turn off the goddamn cell phones.
Right. And he's, like, shooting at people from the thing, like, "Hey, you better not use your cell phone in the movie or I'll shoot you." And then he shoots at the audience like a cowboy. And I think he also pulled out a whip at one point.
He ran unopposed for years, but still amassed a massive fortune.
Massive fortune. Also, the first sheriff, and this is to his credit, to use lasers you're going to think I'm lying about this, to use lasers against Nutri-Rats.
Yeah, they had the SWAT team out there shooting Nutri-Rats for targeting.
With lasers, practice. So they would be blind and die. Yeah.
That tracks.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And this has been this has been brought to you by Harry Lee Foundation.
The Harry Lee Foundation.
Harry Lee, if you want a crazy, crazy redneck sheriff, Harry Lee.
Harry Lee, 2020.
Can't be worse. I'd actually vote for him over Trump.
Yeah.
Sorry to our Trump supporters out there, but it's true. It's damn true.
I would rather vote for the blind Nutria.
I'm going to still go with Grodd, though.
Yeah.
Earlier podcast. Grodd 2020. Who would be Grodd's running mate? Detective Chimp?
Ultra Human Knight?
Kamala? Now, Kamala's got a lot of baggage. The living brain?
Cleep?
Cleep.
Cleek.
Wouldn't it be the Ultra Human Knight?
Sarah Sanders.
Yeah.
Ultra Human Knight.
Sarah Sanders. You got to have a female on the ticket.
Ultra Human Knight is a female.
You got to have a token female and a token human.
Ultra Human Knight covers all of those.
That's a good point. That was an excellent point. And that'll do it for us. Take us to plugs, Mikey. What do you got?
Well, I would like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music every week. You can check him out at kirbycracklemusic.com. And if you're in the Reno, Nevada area, November 8th, 9th, or 10th, come on by and see the Long Box guys. We will be doing a panel on horrible, horrible, horrible stereotypes in comic books. And don't forget, if you are a fan of this podcast, go check out our friends over at Who's Next Gaming. Go to whosnextgaming.com to get the links to all of their different web series and podcasts. And let's also give a shout out to the Nolan Nerd Couple. We hope they'll be podcasting again soon.
Yes, we certainly do. And I'd like to give a quick shout out to our Twitter page, the Longbox Guys on Twitter. Come on over and talk to us. We're always talking about professional wrestling, comic books, Wonder Woman, which one was the best, stupid stuff like that.
And we're also giving away digital comics on our Twitter. So if you go look, Tom will be putting those up.
At some point, absolutely.
Yes.
I keep forgetting to do that. Mike, resend me those. Tom, anyone you want to plug?
I would like to plug GeekOrthodox.com.
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 Oh, Tammy.
GeekOrthodox.com, purveyors of fine t-shirts and other geeky things, such as stained glass prints, Johnny Skywalker rocks glasses, and tons of other geeky things.
Official t-shirt provider to the Longbox guys.
That's right. I'm wearing my Groot one right now.
I have my Geek Orthodox shirt on.
Do you? Which one do you got on?
God bless the geek.
Blessed are the geeks.
Blessed are the geeks, sir.
Really?
I know my shirts.
Really? Yeah. I can see him sitting there naked, crying.
Yeah, but he's got the t-shirt on the chair because he's not an animal. Chair,
soaking up the sweat.
Because I'm not an animal.
Right.
All right, fair enough.
Do you want me to point the camera down, Tom?
I do not. All right, well, that will do it for us.
No, I get some plugs. You know what?
Plug it up, first of all.
Nobody got it today. I would like to say happy birthday to friend of the podcast, Kevin Grievous.
Second, Kevin Grievous. We love him.
Friendly love Neighborhood Comics. Love you guys.
He's also, by the way, let me just add this. He's coming out with a Bass Reeves comic book in just a few months. Bass Reeves, one of my very favorite historical African-American cowboy legends. And I really hope this takes off.
I'd like to say Ananacon coming up in December 6th. I'm pretty sure those guys are going to let me teach my sword classes there.
Where is that, Josh?
That is in, I believe it's New Haven, Connecticut.
Ooh, I want to go there.
The weekend of December 6th. That's all I got.
That's all you got? I can go on? I can move forward?
Yep, please do.
Mikey, what's this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
Tommy, sweet, sweet Tommy. What do you got to say, buddy?
It's like the only job I have right now.
You're preaching to the choir, buddy.
I think you'd be better at it.
What's the difference between a recession and a depression? Anybody?
Got one job.
What's the difference between a recession and a depression? Anyone? Recession, your neighbor's out of a job. Depression, you're out of a job. Josh, the depression's coming. Is that your sec?
I hope not. It certainly feels like it's going to be.
Please do not blame the recession that's coming up on us. We did not predict it. We're just looking at the tea leaves, guys. As a historian, I got to say, not looking great.
Great. All right.
And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just talk about what you love, like the economy. That'll do it for the Long Box, guys. Thank you so much for listening to us. We really appreciate it. Have a great night. Bye-bye.
Love
you. Bye-bye. Let me make sure we were taping.
That'd be nice.
That would be nice.
Yeah, we were. How about that?
Awesome. Hey.